So you ready to do this?
All right, let's roll with the news.
It's time for the most insightful wrestling show today. Wrestling Weekly is on the air.
Are we ready?
I'm very excited.
Please join us in the chat room at WrestlingWeekly.com to submit questions for tonight's guests.
Hello, this is Mick Foley, and you are listening to Doc Young.
He is my friend.
And the inimitable Les Thatcher.
He's a legend. He's one of the greatest of all time.
You're listening to Wrestling Weekly.
The most dominant force in this business today.
And it all starts tonight.
Yeah.
We're the stars of this piece of...
And now, your host for Wrestling Weekly, Doc Young and legendary Les Thatcher.
Doc Young, Les Thatcher here with you at Wrestling Weekly. Thanks for joining us tonight. Les, we've got a good show for everybody tonight.
Well, I hope so. First of all, I'd like to say I'm down in Charlotte, North Carolina, and if we were the 11 o'clock news, I could say here I am on I-485, where Ric Flair had his road race.
Yeah.
And I could be standing out in the median or something. But anyway, I tell you what I did here, and I don't know, again, I've been out of the loop, as you know, all week, and due to tragedies in my wife's family, and that's one of the reasons we're down in Charlotte tonight. Her brother-in-law passed away Friday, and the funeral is tomorrow, and then we go back and stand watch over my mother-in-law again, and so it's been rather taxing for all of us. But
yeah, imagine.
I did hear, when I got down here, and you may have heard this already, that supposedly this guy that had the arrest warrants out for Rick actually threw a Coke can at him.
No, I didn't hear this.
Well, that was told to me here in Charlotte this afternoon. So if that's the case, then I understand why Rick tried to pull him out of the car.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Still, I don't know, it's considered like a... I don't know, attempted assault if you throw a Coke can at somebody, though?
I have no idea. I'm sure some lawyer can find some way of twisting it around to make it, you know, valid in some way, shape, or form. But,
yeah.
You know, I don't know. I really don't. What is there any more on that? I know he turned himself in last Tuesday, and, you know, he's out on bond or whatever,
right.
So.
Well, the Charlotte Observer, they've been all over Ric Flair this week. They've had some more stories up about Ric Flair's wife divorcing him. I guess she had filed a few months back, and he's engaged to somebody else right now.
He's engaged already?
Yes.
That I didn't know. I knew that Beth had filed for divorce, or he had, or somebody had. You know, anyway, they were separated or were getting, you know, had plans on getting a divorce.
Right.
I did not know, however, that he was already engaged.
Yeah, and the accusations of the road rage, of course, and they've also put up a story about how he owes $1 million in back taxes to the IRS.
Wow.
Supposedly, the IRS has been garnishing Flair's wrestling salary this year, and they've gotten more than $200,000 so far of his money. And one report says that he hasn't been paid since April.
Wow.
So
I know there were tax problems back, I think, in the mid-'80s.
Yeah, I was
That Jimmy Crockett Jr. or the Crockett Organization, Mid-Atlantic Wrestling, whatever you want to call it, advanced him quite a hunk of change in six figures, is the way I understand it, to help with an IRS problem at that point in time.
Yeah, well, this one's from 97, I believe, where he owed $1 million that year and never paid it up, so.
I wish I owed somebody $1 million in taxes. That would mean I made a bunch.
Yes, exactly.
But, you know, that's, I have known Rick since virtually his first year in the business, and, there's no doubt. I mean, it's well documented. He has lived the Nature Boy lifestyle, but I feel bad for him, honestly. You know, at this point in his career, at this time in his life, how many more bumps are there? How many more matches? I don't really know. I'm amazed at at the pace he keeps now and the work ethic he has. I just hope all this gets straightened out, and that he can when it does come time to burn the tights. That he can sit back and relax a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. also reports of him taking money out of his retirement fund, $100,000, I believe, to buy an engagement ring. So,
okay.
It's old Rick in the, you know, in the expenses and the excess. But his first step in solving his problem is going to be January 12th when he has to go to court for the assault charges.
Uh-huh. Well, I should have bought a Charlotte Observer today, and I did not do that when I came into town, so I had been unaware. Of course, there may not have been anything in today's paper either. Now, this I did hear in talking to some friends that there was quite a bit of a rumble about the Tuesday special on UPN and the way Eddie Guerrero was utilized there and the lowrider and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently it was mostly negative. Now, did you watch it? I did not get a chance to see it.
I missed it.
Good. Aren't we good?
Yeah.
Those of you listening, pay no attention to either one of us. I have an excuse. What's yours, Doc?
We know nothing this week. We know nothing. But
well, you know, from what I heard, I don't know, you know, that I don't want to be quick to judge since I didn't see it. But from what I heard, it's, God love him. Let's let Eddie rest.
Yeah,
that's the way I look at it, and you know, that's no reflection on anybody. It's just the way I feel about it. You know, mm-hmm. I think the tribute was fine, both tributes, and let's move on.
Yeah, here comes a story from the Wrestling 365 newsletter. According to his management team, Diamond Dallas Page filed a federal lawsuit yesterday against rap legend Jay-Z regarding the use of his diamond cutter symbol. We don't have any specifics yet, but I'm sure the mainstream press will pick up on the story soon.
Well, this year it's been Shark Boy suing the movie company over the use of the name.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I guess that movie is out now on DVD. You can rent it or buy it, and it would be interesting to see exactly what all the fuss is about. But then I understand they have also come back and said that you know, he was limited to the use of it in terms of a wrestling situation,
right.
And that now they're countersuing and wanting him to stop using the name.
Yeah.
Which obviously, you know, here's the bad thing, I think, you know, and of course he's one of my kids and I would hate to see that happen, but obviously they've got more money and more lawyers.
Yeah.
And it's amazing that we're not talking about locker room fights here or that promotional war, we're talking about lawsuits.
Yeah.
Right? Of also somebody suing Ric Flair. Ric Flair's getting a divorce. Diamond Dallas Page is suing Jay-Z. Sharkboy is suing the movie.
It's the new millennium.
It certainly is. It certainly is.
But, Page did first use that diamond cutter symbol in AWA, but if Disney and the movie studio wins this lawsuit, that sets a precedent for, you know, Page maybe only to use it in wrestling. But he also hasn't, you know, he's used
right.
it on his books and things like that. And what was it, the Bang It Out for Books program?
Yeah, the reading club for the children, right?
Yes, all that kind of stuff. He's used the diamond cutter symbol before. Jay-Z, I've seen it on two occasions, once on an album cover and once in a video. So.
I am not a big Jay-Z fan, I haven't seen it.
Oh, come on, you're a closet Jay-Z fan. Come
well,
on.
Actually, Fat Boy.
Really? Oh, here's an interesting story. At an AAW event in Berwyn, Illinois, last week.
AWA or AAW?
AAW.
AAW, okay.
The IWA Mid-South World Heavyweight Champion, Jimmy Jacobs, cut an IWA MS promo before throwing the championship belt in the trash. Sources close to the situation said it was not a work, that Jimmy was angry because IWA promoter Ian Rotten canceled the Thanksgiving and Christmas events without informing anybody, instead simply posting the message on an IWA message board.
Well, this close to the earth, well, of course, Thanksgiving's past, but obviously there's still enough warning about the Christmas show.
Yes.
If you read it on the IWA message board, gosh, I don't know.
Word is he didn't take kindly to not getting a phone call about it, you know, and this close to Christmas. Our lead reporter, Victoria Lee, did call Jimmy Jacobs to get a comment, and Jimmy said he did it because he was paid to do it. And I quote, he said, "My rent is due Wednesday."
Okay. Which still is no answer, basically.
Basically.
Would that be correct?
Well,
it's, you know, who's working who.
Yeah.
Yeah,
He is going to continue with IWA Mid-South. There's been a lot of speculation and things going on, but there's been a lot of running around behind the scenes trying to get things settled between AAW and IWA Mid-South.
And what is AAW's affiliation with IWA?
AAW is run by Danny Daniels.
Okay.
He's the booker. He used to work for IWA Mid-South, and they got into it. He got into it with Ian Rotten about 6 months ago and quit.
Well, he left when
everybody walked out on that BJ.
Prazak, right? Walked
right.
out at the same time. Right?
Prazak walked out. The announcer walked out. BJ left. It all started because of BJ.
Yeah, I do remember hearing. In fact, I talked to Prazak briefly about it in Dayton at Ring of Honor, but didn't go into details. Controversy, is that what our business is about, I would guess?
I don't know, but Jimmy Jacobs made quite a name for himself with this news. This is the most I've heard Jimmy's name in 1 week ever. Everybody's talking about that.
They say any publicity is good publicity. I'm not sure I agree with that totally, but maybe in this respect, who knows?
Yeah, it's a big story in the indies.
Again, you said it's a new millennium, right? So
exactly.
It's a whole different ballgame.
Yes. WWE has signed a deal with former superstar Eddie Fatu.
All right.
Fatu has not worked with the company since his run as Jamal of 3 Minute Warning, Bischoff's henchman, in 2002 and 2003. 3 Minute Warning, Jamal, and current WWE superstar Rosie had a long run in OVW as the Island Boys.
No, they didn't. They had a long run with me as the Island Boys.
That's true, too.
Well, no, it's not true. They didn't have a long run, and they never went. They went straight up from HWA.
Right.
They may have spent a couple weeks in OVW.
This says OVW.
Well, you know what?
They are completely wrong.
Well, you realize that I'm no longer affiliated with HWA. I don't own the company anymore. But
right.
Since they're no longer affiliated with WWE, then they don't exist. Wouldn't that be the standard issue historical fact?
Yeah, we're going to have to say something about that.
Well, no, it's Eddie and Maddie, or Rosie, spent a year, a little over a year with me, the Island Boys, and they did a great job for us as babyfaces, and I can see, if that's the way they're going to bring them back, I can see that. I hope, wish well for Rosie, especially because he's a hard-working guy, got a great work ethic, and a good person,
mm-hmm.
and Jamal or Eddie did a real good job for us while they were with us, and when our contract was up, they went up at that point in time. Now, if we want to get technical, we did our television at OVW, at their studios on Sundays.
Uh-huh.
So, if you want to get technical, then we all worked at OVW. But I'm old, but I'm not so senile as I don't know what I'm talking about.
Exactly.
And they spent the time with us, quite frankly.
Yeah.
But then I wouldn't expect that if someone's writing that doesn't understand wrestling or doesn't understand historical facts, then it doesn't surprise me. Well, I understood. He was working, I think, the Italian tours, right?
Yeah.
Which, in talking to a couple guys that had worked those, the pay there was very, very good. But then I did notice on this last tour that I started to say HWA, right? The WWE was also in Italy. And when it comes down to that, if the country, as hot as it may be, could possibly be burned out by this time next year if there's too much wrestling.
Possibly,
you know,
yes.
Feast and famine.
Mm-hmm.
Feast and famine. I did catch SmackDown on Friday night, and they pulled out all the sophomore gimmicks.
Yes.
Lightning bolts, the boogeyman's head on a tray, Simon Diamond having to be drugged to the ring, some kind of ooze on a backdrop, which shades of Papa Shango.
Simon Dean.
Yeah. I'm sorry, yeah. And then what I did see at the beginning of that show was where the low rider was backed into the set and someone set off a couple of M80s and smoke bombs and a very bad imitation of the car blowing up.
Yeah.
I just, some things, Doc, some things just don't come across live. You can see something in a movie special effects and think, man, this is so good. We need to, well, that's great, but doing in the movie and doing it live are two different things a lot of times. And when I saw that, I thought, okay, you know, it's, to me, I don't care, sports entertainment, professional wrestling, call it what you like, the job of the people in our industry today is still to suspend your disbelief.
Mm-hmm.
And once you hit something that weak, you haven't done that. You've more encouraged disbelief than anything else. I mean, I think it was, you know, very, very easy to understand that car didn't explode, didn't blow up, and that there are no lightning bolts that are going to hit Randy Orton.
Right.
And no one cut the boogeyman's head off and put it on a tray. but his ooze was, and he ate, well, here's the thing. He's got my vote. He's the toughest guy I know. He eats worms.
Yeah.
So, all right.
That's a sign of talent.
Yes. Well, you know, it seems like the company cycles through that every so many years.
It does. You know, it really does.
From the sublime to the ridiculous, as it were. You know, and I don't think that the gobbledygooker or they didn't get over 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 15 years ago, and I don't think it's much going to change, honestly. You know, and to me, and again, whatever. You know, I don't run the company. It's just my personal opinion, but. With so much good talent, you know, I just hate to see, and young guys who could be utilized and in those particular spots where I think that time is wasted. You know, when you figure this, you know, $500,000 or whatever it costs to put that 2 hours on, wow, to me every minute's a value, you know, and I don't see the value in that. That's, yeah. You know.
When you ran Heartland, WWE didn't give you guidelines or anything like that and say we would like more of this or we'd like more of that. They weren't really into your business, were they?
No, they didn't. Well, and, you know, of course, and JR was, and now Johnny Ace was there at the time. I never got that, you know, the stories you hear about Johnny currently, I can't tell you they're not true, but I can't tell you they are either.
Mm-hmm.
He never approached me or my company in that manner. And JR was basically, you know, it lets you run your own business. And I still believe that that has to be the case. You know, it's like minor league baseball team. It's hard for the guy, let's say, you know, if you're the Yankees general manager, it's hard for you to call Scranton, Pennsylvania, let's say, or Columbus, Ohio, which is the Yankees, the Clippers in Columbus are a Yankee farm club, and say, well, I think you should be using this guy at shortstop. And they're saying, well, yeah, but he's a better first baseman. No, I want him at shortstop anyway. You need to listen to that guy who's down there in Columbus managing that talent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because he sees them on a daily basis. And I think, again, I think the developmental system is the only thing that's going to keep pumping talent. I don't care if it's WWE, TNA, who it is. That's because there are no territories, that's the future. The independents, I think, as a whole, aren't going to be the supplier because for every guy that has potential to work at that level, you know, you've got a bunch of kids who are into it as a hobby, who aren't physically in any kind of shape at all, and, you know, are just doing it to be doing it, you know, kind of like a weekend golfer.
Right.
So I see, you know, developmental is actually, you know, I see the value, but I think it's still in its infancy and still needs, you know, that type of developing. But I think you have to let the trainers in these particular, well, Deep South and now in OVW, you've got to give them some leadway, and and their feedback should be of value.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's not to say, well, I need a guy to do this or do that. Well, we won't have him. Then you should take that at face value instead of. I think the biggest problem in this day and age, gimmicks don't make the wrestler. The wrestler makes the gimmick.
Right.
I mean, you could have put the Stone Cold Steve Austin thing on a million other people, and it wouldn't have worked the way it did for Steve.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or we were talking about Ric Flair, the same thing. The American Dream is the American Dream. Roddy Piper is Roddy Piper, and you can put the, you know, a plaid skirt on 20 other guys, and it won't fly. You know, so I think that's the biggest problem too. Is I think gimmicks, heavy gimmicks, have proven, and I think if you could check back over the last 15 years or so, that the heavy gimmicks are basically, with the exception of the Undertaker and Kane. Are basically mid or lower card, you know, that's where you're limited to.
Right.
You know, so to me, I want to see, I would much prefer, you know, your writers, whatever, you go down, you check out OVW, check out Deep South, you see what these guys can do straight up as performers, as professional wrestling performers. You know, and then try, I've always tried to hook a gimmick that fit the person. You know, when we developed gimmicks with our wrestlers in HWA over the years, you know, it just didn't say, and I've had guys come to me and say, well, I think this is a great idea. And I'm saying, yeah, well, the idea's not bad, I just don't think it fits you. You know, and I think that's the other thing, too. I know that in doing things like that with my own little company is that I had to get, you know, you're training these guys and you're working with them, you know, four times a week over, you know, 8 months or a year or whatever it happens to be. You get closer to them, and then you can more appreciate, you know, what may actually work within their personality range.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's something that a writer up in Stanford who goes to OVW once in a great while and looks at the occasional tape, I don't think it could just pinpoint a guy and say, okay, we need to put this particular gimmick on him. You know, so
that's something that a lot of fans think about Randy Orton, John Cena was given that gimmick, but that kind of really is John Cena.
Well, it isn't. Well, you know, when he came to OVW, he was prototype.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, now, he was always a good talker. I remember the first times I heard him do promos in OVW, I was very impressed. The only thing I see with, and I don't have a problem with hip-hop or rapper gimmick or gangster or whatever you want to call it, except that I think there's some limitations in terms of age. You know, and I think right now, which is not uncommon, I think this goes back to what I call the Elvis syndrome. The girls and the younger kids are into it. But, you know, you keep reading the reports where at such and such a show, you know, half the crowd was booing John Cena or a third of the, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, and I think that's more, you know, but I think that's not a thing that has to do with the time or the year or the, you know, the lifestyle. I think that goes back, I think, good-looking baby faces 50 years ago, you know, the younger guys, that, you know, it's like... when I was in my early teens and Elvis was red hot, you know, hey, your girlfriend said, whoa, he's hot, I really like him, and right away you hated him.
Right.
I mean, you know, but if you stop to be practical about it, when was your 14-year-old girlfriend going to meet Elvis Presley and date him, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but I think that's standard. You know, your girlfriend says, ah, this guy's really sharp or he's a hunk or whatever, and that's basically, you know, turns you against him to a certain degree, and I think that's what Cena's facing now.
Unless your name is Penny Banner, then it might happen.
Beg pardon?
Unless your name is Penny Banner, then it might happen.
You know, my wife spoke with Penny a few days ago.
Mm-hmm.
She's at home, convalescing. They had a number of polyps that were taken out. You know, and they haven't got the full report back, but she, from all indications, is doing well and, you know, resting at home.
Oh,
and Penny is a survivor. God bless her. I hope, you know, I hope she does well. But I think that's the problem with Cena, is the reason he's getting booed. A lot of it is the young girls' boyfriends, you know, are down on him because their girlfriends like him.
Right.
But I also think that, you know, that can be overcome, too. It's just a matter of how you go about it.
How would you go about it?
Well, I don't know. Since we just brought it up, I haven't had a chance to really sit and reflect upon it. Well, I think one of the things, honestly, is, again, I think this is kind of, again, part of the foundation of our business, and it's not about what year it is or what the general society appreciates at this point in time, is that the baby faces need to overcome odds.
Mm-hmm.
And or try to overcome odds. Let me jump back real far, real quick, and say that when Tommy Rich, here was a guy who turned on the 14-year-old girls and the grandmothers, right?
Right.
The men, I think the worst thing that ever happened was that they gave him the world title. I don't mean that in any disrespect to Tommy or the fact that as a performer he couldn't do the job, but I think once he finally hit the top of the mountain and grabbed the gold ring, it was over, right?
Pretty much.
They had accomplished it. And I think, to me, one of the things that goes on, with, especially with the Cena thing, is he is overcoming the odds, but it's I have never, I don't feel that you put a babyface in a handicap match against two guys, he should come out on top in that match. Now, that's not to say that on down the line, he doesn't come out on top on both of these guys as individuals.
Mm-hmm.
But it only, I mean, unless we're talking about Superman here, in the real world, and I try, as I've said a million times on the show, I try to parallel any type of angle ideas or booking ideas with what happens in real life, is that, you know, one guy's not going to beat up three.
Right.
I mean, he'll last to a certain degree, and then they're going to take over. And to me, that's what sets him up to be a figure that you're behind. That's what happened with Rich. You know, here's this young guy that grandmother's looked at, that could be my grandson. And then the young girl said, oh, I wish you were my boyfriend. And he's trying to climb the mountain, and all these dastardly guys like Ole Anderson and Mass Superstar and whoever, you know, were cutting his legs out from under him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what keep bringing the people back.
Yeah.
So it's a psychology, and I think that's, you know, with John, in basics, it's the same way. Now, you wouldn't probably do it the same way you did with Tommy Rich 25 years ago, but I still believe that the foundation and, you know, the premise would be the same.
Yeah. Crusher Cox has a question in the chat room, and I think we have time for it, but he says, ask Les why Cade has never gotten over, in your opinion.
Why, who has never gotten over?
Garrison Cade?
Lance Cade. You know what? I thought Lance and Murdoch would are going to get over. This time, Watson, and there's another guy who, regardless of what you hear, spent a year with me, Lance Cade.
Right.
One of the things that we worked on, Lance came to me basically as a babyface. We made him a heel. He was more comfortable there, but still, we did some things to try to extract his personality, to open him up, to relax him, you know, in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
And it finally, you know, it started to show. Now, the first time he was up there, you know, for whatever reason, it didn't establish. But I know when he and Trevor came up this last time, I saw a huge difference.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, and that's the other thing, too. It's like there's a comfort zone that you hit. And I think that, to me, when they put the belts on them as a tag team, they would have, had they have continued to push them in that manner, they would have gotten over. But, again, when you start beating them with everybody, then that's, you know, then you've established that particular pattern. And let's face it, if people hate the Yankees, it's because they're winners. Not
right.
Because they get beat every week, right?
Uh-huh.
Or every game. So I think that's important. You know, it's Vince says it himself. He said it to Eric Bischoff. Perception is reality. And you can take a marginal talent, a marginal athlete, and because I've seen it over the years, push the guy, and he will finally get over. And then I've seen great athletes say, well, why isn't Sheldon Benjamin over?
Right.
Because of the way he's used more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
To go way back again, a guy named Ray Gunkel, who was a good, great amateur wrestler at Indiana, and went on later to own part of the Georgia Championship Wrestling. But I've heard, now, this was before my time, but I've heard the story several times that when, right after he came out of Indiana and turned pro, he was not good. Mm-hmm. And they were pushing him, but they also kept him limited, similar to a Goldberg,
mm-hmm.
right? 2-minute, 3-minute matches. But they were also working with him as he learned, the matches grew longer. But here was a guy, had they have exposed him, you know, in a 20-minute match, that may not have been the case. He may not have gotten over.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's, I think Cade's got the look. Cade's got the talent. Again, I think he's more suited for tag team. I don't know that he would be a strong individual performer in singles, but I was really excited about he and Trevor. Well, Trevor, you know, is out of Harley's camp,
uh-huh.
So I knew him and had worked with Trevor on several occasions as well, so I was really excited for both of them. And
I like they're using Trevor in singles matches then.
Well, and then who was it he wrestled the other night
and beat him?
Yeah.
Who did he work? Shelton Benjamin.
Yeah, exactly. He wrestled Shelton. But but again, I thought, you know, once they put the tag belts on those guys, that they would have, you know, had they been utilized properly, I think they would have been taken off, and you could have gotten some mileage out of them.
Mm-hmm.
Which is not to say that they necessarily were going to, you know, be at the top of pay-per-view come next March or April, but you've heard me say this before. To me, it's depth. You know, give me good guys and good storylines in the middle as well as what you got at the top. And I think as far as a tag team division, these two guys, along with Eminem, you know, I think both those young teams are valuable.
Yeah. Absolutely. We got a great show for everybody tonight. We've got Sanjay Dutt coming up in just a couple of minutes. And we've got, God willing, Gabe Sapolsky from Ring of Honor.
That Gabe gets lost every once in a while, then.
He does.
When I get back to Cincinnati, if that ever happens, I'll have to give him a shout and see what's up.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go ahead and take a break. When we come back, we've got Sanjay Dutt all the way from Bollywood, India. Ooh, he's going to be joining us here on Wrestling Weekly.
Yeah.
Stick around. It's Doc Young and Les Thatcher with you. We'll be right back after this.
We know, you hate this part, but Wrestling Weekly will return after this short break.
Why are you doing this to me?
Doc Young, Les Thatcher, back here with you at Wrestling Weekly. On the line right now, all the way from Bollywood, India. Don't know if he's there right now, but Sanjay Dutt's on the line. Sanjay, thanks for being on Wrestling Weekly this week.
No problem. How you guys doing?
Pretty good.
Good, real good. And if he is, Doc, then your phone bill is going to be sky high by the time this is over.
Exactly. Oh, yeah, I just got the bill from the Lance Storm interview. Less.
Oh, really?
Yes, we're not going to have any more Canadians on the show.
All right. It's not in the budget, right?
No.
All right. Sanjay, if you're in India this moment, hang up, please. So they don't disconnect Doc's phone. You know, Doc, we were talking before we came on the air, but I received a tape from a young man going to college in Virginia, and this would have been around early 2002, I believe, and it was Sanjay. And I remember... you know, the mechanics I was impressed with very much, and of course at the time I thought, well, he needs a little size, but I did pass the tape on to, and it escapes me right now who it was in talent management, talent relations in WWE,
mm-hmm.
but it didn't get past that, and of course, Sanjay, maybe you're happy that it didn't because you're flying pretty high right now with TNA.
I'm doing all right, but hey, I appreciate you passing along. I remember back then I was... pretty much sending a tape to anybody and everybody I could find. So I'm glad it at least reached you.
Yes. Well, I remember some of the stuff you were doing I had not seen. So some of the acrobatics and stuff. But and you were in college at the time, and now you just graduated this past spring or summer, right?
Yep. It's been about a year now that I graduated, and it just feels good to get that done with, you know.
That's great. You got a bachelor's degree?
Yep. In public relations.
All right, that's great. So everybody always talks about our business is something to fall back on, and you certainly have got that and got it in spades now.
Definitely.
At a short time, you've been in the industry for only 4 years.
Yep, not that too long.
And we were talking about India, but you and Shark Boy and Simon Diamond were over there. It's been what, about 3 months ago?
Geez, yeah, more or less. I think it was about October, yeah.
Yeah, but you created quite a stir. In fact, it was they almost broke the doors down to get in at one point, over there, right?
I tell you, that scene kind of played every night. We did six different cities. So these little halls that we did these events in would only hold about 1,000, maybe 2,000 people. But these towns, I mean, the entire town would come out, so there'd be another extra 500-600 people outside waiting to get in. And, they couldn't get in, so they would try to break down the doors to get in, and then cops would be getting trampled, fights would break out. I mean, it was really surreal. The whole experience was so surreal, but, we've definitely had a blast out there.
and due to, now, of course, Shark, due to his heritage, they tried to catch him with a hook in his mouth. But due to your heritage, did you get some preferential treatment? I mean, did you get the you were the king?
You know what? They did treat me tremendous. It was like a hero's welcome and, you know, a homecoming for me. And I did a lot of press and a lot of interviews and TV shows. And it was great because I speak two different Indian languages. So most of the press and everything that I did was in Hindi or Punjabi. So the fans kind of really got to relate to me and see, like, yeah, this guy is the real deal. You know, he speaks our language. He looks like us. And it really helped with getting across the message.
Well, you guys must have been really surprised that the TNA show was that red hot over there, huh?
I was shocked. I mean, I figured that it, you know, we would get some press and it would be a big deal, but nothing like what happened. It totally blew me away.
Now, when you've worked Ring of Honor, you've what was the company that Court Bauer was starting?
MLW.
Yes, exactly. So you've been around a few of these startups that never got started. Well, Ring of Honor, of course, is doing real well. But how did it feel when you finally hooked on with TNA?
You know, it felt great because at that time it was, you know, I guess still is the only other option to make a full-time living in the country. So it felt great just that I was kind of really, really almost living out the dream, working with a lot of veterans and learning. And, you know, it's still, I think everybody always asks me what's the best part. I think the best part for me is just always getting down there and learning from everybody that's out there and just bettering myself each and every week.
And, of course, with just 4 years in the business, I mean, you still got that gleam in your eye.
Yeah.
The honeymoon's not over yet, right?
What's that?
The honeymoon's not over yet.
Not yet.
And you started pretty young, too. You're what, 23 now?
Yeah, I'm 23. I started training when I was 18,
mm-hmm.
and then a few months later I had my first match. It was about 2001 when I started really, you know, working every weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Who started training you?
I first went to Larry Sharp. He opened up a school in D.C., a monster factory in D.C., and that didn't last long, so I trained with him a little bit, and then I finished up with a local group here in Virginia where I live.
Excellent.
All right. So that's where you're making your home then, in Virginia?
Yep, I still live in Northern Virginia right outside of D.C.
All right.
You're wrestling right now in some other promotions, Ring of Honor. You go to Jersey All-Pro and CZW still?
I haven't been to CZW in a while, but I'm still, you know, working in the Northeast Indies, but a lot less now that I basically had a full-time job with 01 in Japan for the last year, so I spend most of my time out there, and then I'll be home for about 4 weeks in between tours, and, you know, that's pretty much devoted to TNA.
Mm-hmm.
Well, of course, and the Japanese thing, too, I mean, that can escalate in terms of as you get more popular and more seniority there. The money picks up, and I know there's a lot of guys that are making a living off of that alone.
Definitely. You know, Japan kind of saved my wrestling career because about a year ago when Dusty Rhodes started booking, a lot of the X Division guys kind of lost jobs, so I was fortunate enough that 01 picked me to do a tour in January, and from there I just pretty much been full-time with 01, and now I'm kind of balancing my time in between TNA and 01.
The one thing that I've read a few interviews that you've done on different websites or different things. One of the things that jumped off the page at me was your good common sense. I mean, and keeping things in perspective. I mean, I can't quote it, but I know that the size factor was brought up, and you realized that was going to limit you to a certain degree, and you also realized that the acrobatics weren't going to, you know, be long term necessarily. Weren't going to be the end all be all. That you needed to do some mat based stuff too. And I think that's one of the things that young guys today just totally overlooked. They start doing something that, you know, like the acrobatics, and boy, this is really neat, I love this, and forget the basics and never get past that.
Sure, definitely. I totally agree with you. You know, at the beginning of my career, you know, I was doing that stuff, and it helped me get noticed, but after that, you know, it was time to kind of tone it down and focus on the other aspects of work, and now I'm focusing a lot more on just the character, with Spike TV and stuff like that. I'm focusing more on getting my character across and getting those little nuances across to the audience through television.
And, of course, if you work with my buddy Samoa Joe too often, you're going to have to spend a lot of time in the gym, too, because he don't know what the word loose means. I know that.
Tell me about it.
We have a question from the chat room. Kick Me in the Heel wants to know, he says, what does your sprinkler gimmick mean?
Basically, it was about a couple years ago. I was working in CZW in Philadelphia, and basically I would come out every week, and I'd do goofy dances, and you know, it helped me get over with the local crowd, and my girlfriend at the time said, hey, you know, the sprinkler is a really stupid, goofy dance. You should go out to the ring and do it. And I said, you know, I'll give it a shot. And from there, it took off. And, you know, fast forward now to Spike TV, you know, I've been doing it for the past couple months on TNA and stuff, and it's gotten over with the live crowd like $1 million, so I'm just kind of rolling with it.
All right. Have you ever heard of that dance called the shopping cart?
No, I haven't.
It's a lot worse than the sprinkler.
Really?
Yes, and I wish you could see.
Because the sprinkler's pretty bad, you know?
Yeah. But the shopping cart is that's the new one. If the sponsor
I'll Google it.
Okay.
Everybody talks about the atmosphere, the dressing room atmosphere of TNA, and how do you find that? You know, compared to every the other promotions you've worked.
For me, it's really great. It's really loose and it's really fun because a lot of my friends are there and a lot of the guys that, you know, we see every week on the indies, you know, we just see them at TNA. So it's like you see these guys on Saturday and Friday night and then bam, you know, you're there in Orlando and it's just the same, it's kind of the same group of people. So, I mean, we're a big extended family and, you know, we spend more time with each other than our real families.
Do you know if is there any talk? I know there was when the ECW thing was going on. There was talk that Douglas and Borash were going to promote TNA in the old ECW arena. But and I from what I hear, that was just talk. Is there any talk of them touring anytime soon that you know of?
It's come up in the past, but I mean I don't think anytime soon. From what we've been told, that it's definitely a goal. But not right now. I personally think it wouldn't be a smart decision now, but let's just focus on Spike TV right now and try and get the buy rates up and stuff like that. And once that's accomplished, you know, if business is right, then, you know, we can tour with the house shows. But I don't think anything right now.
You guys got another two-hour special coming up this coming Thursday.
Yeah, this Thursday.
Are you on that show?
Yes, the big angle with AJ Przinsky of the Chicago White Sox, I think, is going to air on Thursday with myself, Chris Sabin, and AJ Styles.
All right, so that's what I watched the show last night. So that's what Heenan was talking about then.
Yes.
Okay.
And that's going to lead up to the pay-per-view match, I believe, as well.
All right.
And your pay-per-view is
Sunday.
The 11th.
Yep, a week from today.
Yeah. Crusher Cox wants to know, he says, if approached by the WWE, would he allow himself to be portrayed in a stereotypical role, a la Muhammad Hussein?
You know, I don't think it'd be up to me, really.
You're right.
But, you know, when I got into wrestling, I always wanted to get over without doing the stereotypical role of an Indian or a Middle Easterner and stuff like that. And I think I have accomplished that because I've never really gone down that route. I've always... you know, done what I've needed to do without going to the stereotypes of an Indian or a Middle Easterner. But, you know, this is wrestling, and, you know, it's going to capitalize on any stereotype they can. So if that would come up, you know, you got to roll with the punches.
Right.
I honestly think that what you're going against the grain sometimes actually works better simply because of it has been so stereotyped over the years.
Definitely.
I know a couple times back in the 70s, working with some Japanese guys in territories where they actually used them as baby faces.
Right.
They got over very strong because, you know, at that time, most every Japanese was a sneaky guy who was a heel.
With throwing salt in the eyes and stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Definitely.
Has there been any talk of you participating in the Super J tournament this year?
I don't know who's which group that. There's so many J tournaments now. I mean, I don't know.
That's true.
You know, I'm not really sure. I think everybody's running a J tournament now.
Speaking of tournaments, have you worked the Super 8?
I never have worked the Super 8. No. Super 8, no.
The special on Thursday, is that a two-hour show or a one-hour show?
You know what? I believe it's 2 hours, but I may be wrong. I know it starts at 10, so I'm more inclined to say it's an hour.
Okay.
But I'm not sure.
The last one was 2 hours, right? Yeah.
Yes, it was.
It was.
But the last one also started at 9. I think this one
right.
Started at 10.
Well, this, you know, I think now I heard that the people at Spike were more pleased with the numbers on that 2 hour special last month than the people at TNA. But truthfully, they had been on such a short time. I think just the fact that they brought nothing but the existing audience to that Thursday slot meant something.
Exactly, they maintain the audience, so you know, I would be happy with it. But I can see where TNA was kind of disappointed because a lot of advertising time was taken out on radio and television and stuff like that. So hopefully this one will do a little better. But as long as we're maintaining what we have and we're not losing anybody, I think we're doing good.
Do you guys feel like you're being put under pressure by having these specials so early on your run on Spike?
You know what? I don't think so. I just see it as, you know, we've gotten preempted on Saturday night, so we've got to switch to another night, and we're doing the exact same thing that we're doing on a regular Saturday show, just airing it on a different night.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's a good thing that it is in prime time, and it's access to a lot more viewers and stuff like that, and hopefully some new viewers. I think that's the only positive that's going to come from that.
We got a question in the chat room. It says, do you think it's detrimental in the long run for TNA to continue to film in Orlando because of the fans? They're not generally, they generally don't realize or appreciate what's unfolding in the ring.
You know, I'm not sure. Right now, the best option for us is to stick in Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
I think if we were to branch off, it would hurt. Not just the gate, but you know, other things, and especially how it looks on TV. I think right now we're sticking with Orlando, and the crowd there is just so hot, and it looks so great on television. You know, it may not be a big building, but it's a little building, and it's packed with loud, boisterous fans, and it comes across great on television. I don't know what's going to happen in the long run, but hopefully, with ratings going up and viewership going up, that we can branch out in the next 6 months.
I think that's got, at some point, it's got to be the next step too. You know, the pay-per-view concept is great, but I think at some point, even if it's on a short, you know, just every few months, a house show tour would certainly reap some profits.
Sure. But you know, with the wrestling business as it is now, the majority of the money is going to come from the pay-per-view. But if we can run a successful couple of house show tours, it's going to do nothing but help us.
Absolutely.
Well, now you guys are on with it, like the deal in India, and then I know that TNA is on is in Australia, a couple other foreign countries as well. So that there obviously is an option, even if they never tour in the United States.
Overseas, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you work a lot of the indies, and sometimes you'll run into some guys who are hobbyists and coworkers that are hobbyists and do it for the weekend or anything
sure.
like that. Do those kind of wrestlers bother you?
No, they don't bother me. I think everybody's got their own different goals, and you know, I can respect that. If somebody's goal is to just do it on the weekends and you know, have a good time with his buddies and have his friends come out and see him, that's fine. He's not stepping on my toes, and I'm not going to step on his toes. I mean, whatever floats each and every person's boat, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let me throw some in here, and I think that. The biggest obstacle, and maybe Sonja doesn't want to say it, I'll say it, is that with some of those guys like him who are making their living at this, have to be careful in the ring to see exactly how talented or lacking in talent that these other particular guys are. Because, well, I'll tell you, I just heard this yesterday.
I'll say that I totally agree with you on that, Les.
Okay. Well, Brad Armstrong, I just heard this yesterday, was working with a kid who just had a couple matches, and I know I've known Brad since he was a baby, for God's sakes, and
right.
a tremendous talent. And he was handling the kid with, you know, like he would his own baby, and the kid was clumsy, fell on him, and hurt his shoulder, and so now he's down for, they say, 2 to 3 months.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's the downside, Doc,
yes.
of mixing the two.
Yeah, that's always going to be there no matter what indie show you go to. So.
Sure.
You know, it's always in the back of your mind.
I think I saw you a couple years ago at an IWA Mid-South show.
Yeah.
Doing, geez, do you remember what tournament it was?
I know that I've done Simply the Best that Ian's run on quite a few occasions.
Do you enjoy working down there?
You know, I like working for Ian just because he had a great fan base, good crowds. And not size-wise, but they were smart. They were appreciative of what was going on in front of them, which made it definitely fun to work for.
But you didn't work King of the Death matches, right?
Hell no. Actually, I worked a non-tournament match at a King of the Death matches a couple years ago. It was the most insane thing I've ever been.
I went. Well, Shark can tell you. This was before he became Shark Boy, and he was refereeing. And I went to one with him and watched, and I just...
Insane.
I was awed. I just stared at my mouth hanging.
did you hear, I don't know if you heard about this, this is off topic kind of, but Deep South, IWA Deep South, had a King of the Deathmatch tournament just a couple months ago. Maybe
is this
last
where the cops shut it down?
Yes, and the cops came and shut it down.
Yeah, I did read that.
There were little kids in the front row getting glass thrown on them from shattered light tubes, and they were loving it, but some parents had...
The parents weren't loving it, yeah.
the kids were loving it, but the parents weren't, yeah.
Hell no.
You know, Doc, a lot of times when you throw caution to the wind like that, though, got to realize whoever promoted that, if he has insurance, he has just put it on the line.
Yes.
In that situation, I mean, one little sliver of glass in a kid's eye or something, and this guy's done. His home's gone. I mean, the chance for him to lose his home and everything else.
I heard they found the promoter hiding in the bushes. I don't know if that's true or not. But I heard the police found him hiding in the bushes outside somewhere.
Wow.
Of all the good athletes at TNA, and of course you worked, as you mentioned, worked with these guys on other promotions as well. Who do you enjoy working with the most?
Lately it's been Alex Shelley, just because we've been working so often. I love working everybody at TNA. You know, everybody's fun to work with, and I've worked pretty much everybody there. But just lately, me and Alex Shelley have been working a lot together because we both work for 01, so we kind of get stuck with each other overseas for 2 weeks at a time. And, you know, we're working each other every night over there, and then we come back to TNA, and we're working each other again. So, you know, lately I've been really enjoying working with Alex.
Well, those matches, the more you work together, too. Yeah, he's a good athlete, and you guys, then it becomes like, I mean, you're just doing it, right? I mean,
yeah, definitely. We feel each other. Well.
Sure.
Yep.
Sanjay, I want to thank you for being on the show. Do you have a website or anything?
Yeah, it's www.sanjay.com.
All right, check that out. And check out Sanjay on TNA Entertainment, of course, on Saturday nights.
Please do.
All right, Sanjay, I want to thank you for being on the show.
Thanks, Sanjay, guys. Good luck to you, and thank you very much.
Thank you, guys. Pleasure.
Sanjay Dutt here on Wrestling Weekly, guys. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we've got a little bit of news to talk about. We still have some news left over, Les.
Okay.
And we've also got last week was Survivor Series. And I made some predictions. We're going to see who won. Was it Doc or Les? And we've got Hot Topic coming up next with Brian Alvarez from the Figure Four Weekly newsletter. Right here on Wrestling Weekly, guys. It's all coming up. Stick around. We'll be right back. Doc Young and Les Thatcher back here with you at Wrestling Weekly. Les hates it when I sing during commercial break.
I don't hate it. It's just you don't know how.
Oh, yeah. We've got on the line right now for Hot Topic, it's Brian Alvarez from the Figure Four Weekly newsletter. Brian, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me on, and I am all for your singing and dancing.
Great. The shopping cart.
That's because you can't see it. That's why you're all for it.
Yeah, there is that.
So how you been this week?
I've been all right.
What's the hot topic on Figure Four?
I think, well, the hot topic really is that Tuesday night SmackDown special, which was quite the little show right there. I guess the idea for a long time was that they weren't going to make any mention of Eddie Guerrero so as not to exploit the issue, and that all went out the window on Tuesday.
Oh, yeah.
And the thing to me was there were so many upset wrestling fans, there were so many upset wrestlers, so many people upset about the whole situation. And then I wake up today and I get this email that apparently the addition to the Eddie Guerrero book, there's going to be a one page in memory of Eddie Guerrero that is being added. And of all the people in the world that could write this, who do they choose but Vince McMahon?
Oh, man.
And I thought, you know, I don't know. I just don't know. What can you say?
There's not much.
No, I agree. We mentioned that briefly at the top of the show, and I said, you know, without beating it over the head, it's God rest, God love him, let him rest in peace.
Yeah.
I think you can take. I mean, I thought the specials were tasteful. They were well done. I mean, you could nitpick and say, well, the female battle royal didn't belong there or whatever, but. Overall, I thought it was well done. I think everybody appreciated it. I know I didn't have a dry eye, but I think now it's time to push it aside. I think it's lacking in taste going past this point.
Yeah. I don't understand, you know. I know they've got this Undertaker-Orton match that they've got to do, but I don't understand how any of this is going to add any buys to the pay-per-view.
No.
I don't know. Lightning Bolt, did that add 50 buys? the you know, what is it? What's the point of all of it? I don't know. It used to be that you could just book a Hell in a Cell and people would buy tickets.
Right.
Now apparently you need much more than that. You need lightning and thunder and ghosts.
Well, you know, in thinking here as an entrepreneur, if you have the boogeyman eating worms, then maybe we could market chocolate-covered worms.
Sure.
Or the stuff that gummy bears are made out of and call them boogeyman worms.
I actually greatly enjoy the boogeyman. I have to. It's a guilty pleasure of mine every week on TV. When I watched that SmackDown on Friday, I thought, the only beacons really on this show are Regal, Benoit, Booker T, Charmel, Taz, and the Boogeyman. And I don't know. The rest of the show was like, I can do without all of this.
That's the first time I heard somebody say, you know, that show would have been so much better if the Boogeyman had been on it. You know?
Head in the Platter, that was all good stuff.
Yeah. You know, I was saying to Doc, I said, you know, there are so many young guys that could utilize that time that are to get over.
Yeah.
You know, and they're actually going to draw, because I was saying, if you look back over the last 20 years, that those type of gimmicks either A, didn't succeed at all, or B, were regulated to the lower part of the card anyway, so it's not something you're going to count on, you know, to put butts in seats or pay-per-view buys.
Well, I've seen the Boogeyman wrestle. I think he's had, in his whole life, he may have had 5 matches.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm actually overestimating that by 2 matches, because I can only think of 3 off the top of my head. But this guy, they can't have him wrestle. The only way the Boogeyman's going to work is if there's a 30-second or 1-minute skit every week, or every third week, and every 6 months he's got a match. That's the only way it's going to work. And I just know that they're not going to do it that way. They're going to do something stupid. He's going to be working regularly. It's going to be horrible. And they're just going to just run into the ground. But
yeah, but don't you think if he has a match once every 6 months that it's going to show or that he can't wrestle?
Well, yeah, but it's going to show a lot faster if he's in the ring every week.
Yeah, you got a good point there.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let me ask you a question. Let me get your read on the drug policy. We talked about this last week, but I'm all for it. I think it's a great idea. But I'm also wondering, I know Dave mentioned in the Observer that it could turn to the alcohol end too, if they get too crazy with it about the pay-per-views.
Yeah.
I mean, about the paper, about the, you know, about injuries and stuff. And I mean, some guys, I mean, they've got to use pain pills. They not necessarily abuse them, but, you know, they are a necessary evil in our business at some point in time.
Well, I think the thing with drug testing, and I've been talking about this for like 3 weeks now with a whole bunch of different people, and, you know, in general, the fact is it's such a complex issue. I mean, when Eddie first passed away and there was the heart issues and everyone knew about his drug past, there was the knee-jerk reaction of we have to drug test.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think the drug testing in WWE is necessary, but it's not like instituting drug testing is going to solve the problems.
No.
Or solve, at least, the way I look at it is, with Eddie, you know, he had done so much for so long. I think we've talked about this before, but these things weren't going to be reversed. And I think that if you institute drug testing, and by some miracle, everybody really honestly is totally clean of everything starting 2 weeks ago when the announcement was made, we're still going to have some early deaths, because some guys have already made their bed, and it's probably too late. Now, the young guys, the guys in their 20s, the guys in developmental, those are the guys that we can save with this policy. But the deal is, this policy needs to be in effect forever. 10 years down the road, this policy may really start to pay off. But, you know, right now, if there's a guy, and I'm sure there are a few, that have just done everything under the sun, they may be way past the point of no return. So this cannot be something that Vince McMahon goes, okay, we're going to do this, and then God knows when business goes down and that sort of thing, we'll just rescind it like they did in the early 90s. They can't do that. This needs to be a permanent deal. And even if it's a permanent deal in WWE, you also have the issue of TNA isn't doing drug testing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, really nowhere else in the world is going to do this sort of drug testing. So you'll always in the indies, of course, and it's the business. And the drug testing is a step in the right direction, but in no way is it going to solve all the problems.
Well said. I have to agree with you on that one.
I think the schedule.
Yeah.
There's something that can't. Well, it could change, but obviously from an income standpoint or a financial standpoint, as far as the company is concerned, it can't change.
Right.
And that's I made mention last week, Brian, that the deal with Batista is supposed to take some time off to try to rehabilitate the lat. And thus far, he hasn't done that.
And he's not going to.
No.
So, and the thing also is, with drug testing, I'm a proponent of it, but also, we can't look past the fact that there are going to be a lot of problems as a result of it. Like you mentioned, there's going to be alcohol problems because, the thing with pain pills and abuse is, what is pain pill abuse? If I went out and slipped on the ice and went to the doctor and he prescribed me Somas or Percocet or whatever, probably be like one every 4 hours or whatever,
right.
Three times a day. Okay, if I'm a 300-pound wrestler, a 250-pound wrestler, who has been taking pain pills for a long, long time, that's not going to do a thing. That's going to do nothing for me. If there's a guy that needs to take three every 2 hours to make it through the day, and he is, he can function taking that amount. If drug testing is all of a sudden saying you're going to need to go back to taking one pill every 4 hours, three times a day, that guy's going to be in constant pain, and he's going to be looking for other ways to numb that pain, and that's not a good thing.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
And also the thing with steroids, there are some positives, at least in this business, to steroids, such as injury rehabilitation. And, just getting off steroids in and of itself, you're going to have the guys dealing with depression, pain. There's going to be a lot of psychological and other sorts of issues to deal with as well. So it's not just, like I said, it's not just, saying we're going to test, everything's going to be happy, everything is not going to be happy. And it's just the way the business is, there are so many issues that are going to have to be dealt with.
Well, and we're talking about prescription. I think if you were to do a check of some of the upper class or upper middle class income houses in just in the country, you're going to find some prescription drug abuse.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And these we're not talking about athletes necessarily. We're talking about people that are wearing suits and ties every day.
Oh yeah, it's everywhere, and in wrestling, I think it's just. You're going to see more of it just because of the travel and everything like that. But, there definitely is abuse everywhere.
Let me ask you a question. You've been watching TNA.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you feel that the shows aren't as strong the last few weeks or not?
I haven't seen last night's show yet, but I was kind of down on the show the week prior because it really hit me on that show that they've fallen into a pattern, and it needs to be remedied. I was talking to Dave about it, and we sort of had differing opinions on it. I thought the first show was great. He thought there were a lot of things that could be fixed, mainly that it was too fast-paced and everything like that. And my feeling was, for the first show, it's okay to have one of those Vince Russo shows where there's 17 billion things going on all at once because you need to hook people. But after that, you need to build a show for the casual fans. You need to slow it down. You need to do a one-hour show in 60 minutes instead of a two-hour show in 60 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been weeks now, and it's the same thing every week. There's a squash match, which goes about 10 seconds and has a clean finish. There's three matches where there's, they get a little bit of time, 10, 12 minutes, and there's some sort of run-in, disqualification or something like that. They've done video packages for a lot of guys, but still I talk to people all the time that just started watching on Spike and have no idea who half these people are. What is Larry Zbysko doing? Why does he hate Raven? What's up with Monty Brown? Why does he act like that? And they haven't done a very good job, putting these characters over yet because they're trying to rush too much into an hour. So I do think that there are a lot of things on the show that need to be changed, including you know, the fact that they've got the Thursday night special this week, and apparently they just started plugging it last night, which is the mistake they made last time, and they did it again.
Is it a two-hour or one-hour? We were talking about this earlier.
I think it's 1 hour.
Okay.
Wow.
No, I agree. You know, like last night, you haven't seen it yet. They had Jackie Gala run out during Jarrett's time out there again, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Mike Tenay brought her up, and Jarrett said on his life, if Tenay brought it up again, he would disable him or something like that. But the point I'm getting at here is she's fresh. And whatever this angle or storyline is going to be, my thought is Jeff's got the belt, Jeff's on top, and it's not a personal issue, but I'd say it if it were myself on top or somebody else. But I think she can be utilized to help elevate somebody else with whatever the storyline is. I mean, he's got Gail Kim, he's got Harris and Storm. And it's just, I think the wealth needs to be spread around, you know, and call it what you like, a crutch or whatever, but I think they're putting all their eggs in one basket. And when you see tomorrow, our last night's show, Brian, is I sat there with the Raven thing where Zbyszko had Simon Diamond and Young and Elix against him in that House of Fun thing, right? And I'm thinking, why are they trying to turn Zbyszko heel? Because that's the way it was coming across to me. The promotion was coming across the heel, not Raven.
Yeah, they've done a horrible job. I don't know what the deal is with Raven, but I think he's supposed to be a heel. But they're booking him in a total babyface fashion, and it's completely perplexing. And as far as the Jackie Gata thing, my only real problem with that is they're debuting so many people. They're so intent on getting all these faces on TV that it's really negating the point of all the people they're trying to push. I know a lot of fans will say things like, God, where's Paul London on WWE TV or whatever? He's so talented, we never see him, that sort of thing. And in a way, there's something about the way WWE books where you don't see everybody on TV every week that in some ways is a positive. Because if you've got 30 guys on a roster and all 30 guys are on TV every single week, then nobody gets over. And it's hard to push any one thing or any top three matches for a pay-per-view or something like that. So there are shows where you'll only see six or seven different people on the entire show, maybe a little bit more than that. But I almost think that TNA is going the opposite direction, where they're trying to get every single person on the roster on as many shows as possible. And by the end of the show, you're just confused about everybody. Nothing sticks out. You know Jarrett's on top, but you're really sort of not sure about who the number one contender is or why, and it's just there's too much going on, basically.
Yeah, I think you'll find Christian's promo from last night was strong, but I know where you're coming from with what you're talking, and I think, you know, here again, this is not an end-all be-all, but just a rule of thumb, and what you're saying is if we're taping two shows at the same time, if you and I are in an issue, you wrestle on the first one, I do the promo on the first one, I wrestle on the second one, and you do the promo on the second one.
Yeah.
That way it spreads the wealth around a little bit.
I mean, a good example is like the Friday SmackDown. That orange stuff was so stupid. When you really, but the one thing I have to give him credit for is Orton was in, God, how many segments on that show? Like at least four different segments on the show.
Yeah.
And when the show was over, I mean, there was no question the top feud on SmackDown. No question whatsoever in your mind. It's Orton and it's Undertaker. And the show was over, and that's, I mean, you couldn't, there was none of this TNA stuff where it's like, okay, I think it's Jarrett and Rhino, I know they don't like each other, they've done this or that. I mean, this was hammered home in your head that these two men are going to be fighting on the pay-per-view, and they're the two top guys in this brand right now, and this is the main feud. And that was hammered home. And TNA has a hard time doing that because they're just trying to put too much stuff on TV.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think the multi-men matches, they had another four-way last night. And it's the uniqueness of that is going to be lost if they keep doing it every week.
Yeah, that and the fact that I think who won was it? Chris Sabin.
Yes.
I mean, this may have been at the tapings, but I just remember reading the results and just the first thing that popped in my head was it's total parody booking. Everybody has to get a win over everybody else, And when you do that, nobody really gets over on their own because everybody's at the same level. You have to have some guys that are at a higher level to push. And, you know, WWE did it for a long time, sort of, with the Intercontinental title and a bunch of other belts where it would just be, you know, four or five guys. They'd all just trade wins with each other. And so when the whole thing was over, nobody got over. They all were at the exact same level they were at before.
We were, we were talking about the boogeyman, the ooze that came out on the set. Was that left over from Papa Shango, or was that new?
It may have been worm guts.
You know what was scary? The funny thing was, when I first saw him put the damn worms in his mouth, I'm thinking, you know, they got to be jelly, you know, made out of candy or something.
Until
I saw him squirming around on the mat, and I said, oh, my God, he's actually eating worms.
He's eating real worms. You know, the thing with the boogeyman is...
They are good protein.
I've heard that, but I'm not going to try it.
Exactly.
The thing with the boogeyman is there some things in wrestling that are just so beyond absurd that they're great. And, like, the whole deal with Simon Dean where he's in the room and there's a table and it's got protein powder and videotapes, and all of a sudden, just right in the middle of it, there's, like, a platter with a lid on it. And he opens the lid and the lights immediately go out and red lights come on and there's a man's head on the plate. I mean, that's... I cannot hate that. It's too campy pro wrestling to possibly hate. But if I saw him in the ring every week, by God, I'd hate him real fast.
Yeah.
But you don't think we'll be seeing him topping a pay-per-view anytime soon, right?
I'm actually petrified that we will, and I'm because that's like the way that I look at things nowadays is whatever makes the least amount of sense, that's pretty much what you're going to get. So.
Mm-hmm.
The last thing Boogeyman should be doing is wrestling every week and doing a pay-per-view main event against, like, Big Dave, so he'll do it.
You know, we were talking about the Tuesday night special, and I had said to Doc early on, I said, when Randy ran the lowrider through the set, that whole horrible thing that was supposed to imply the car was blowing up with a couple of M-80s went off as smoke bombs, and I said, some things work really great in movies, and they don't work worth a damn in live, and that was one of them. I mean, it was just, if anything, instead of suspending your disbelief, it increased your disbelief.
Yeah, it turned into a show.
Yeah.
I mean, there was, I mean, if you take away the whole, all of the Eddie Guerrero symbolism, if you just take the injury angle itself of driving a car at full speed backwards through the set, I mean, that's a hell of an injury angle. But then once you start lighting off the fireworks, all of a sudden it's a cartoon.
Yeah.
And, of course, that didn't help matters any when it was cartoon in full effect on Thursday with the clock running backwards and all that other stuff. the Ovaltron bleeding and everything. And
you know, that's like, you remember when Kane was throwing the fire?
Yeah.
And my first thought when I saw it, and of course I can't help myself, I'm practical, I said, well then, why does he meant to wrestle anybody? Just burns everybody up, right?
Yeah, I think you actually mentioned that to me a long time ago.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, and I gotta believe that there are fans that look at it the same way and just shake their head and move on. And I think that the people that write this and the people that okay it have got to think in those terms at some point, too.
Yeah, I've never been a big fan of the magic on WWE TV. I've never understood it, but I don't know. I'm never going to stop.
The delay is rolling around to the chat room right now, and Lawson in the chat room says, you got to love that kind of commitment. Would Benoit put worms in his mouth? I don't think so.
Yeah, the boogeyman is, you know, when he first went to Ohio Valley, the word was that this guy either does the most believable insanity gimmick or he's actually insane.
Mm-hmm.
And for a long time, nobody was sure. And apparently it's just a gimmick because now, you know, at WWE, people are stunned. He's just like a totally nice guy. He'll do anything they ask. He's just a weirdo.
Did you hear the story? This is on another subject, but did you hear the story about the kids who filmed an amateur wrestling show in a cemetery?
I did see that.
I missed it.
Where was this at?
What was that?
Where was this at?
I have the article here somewhere, but
I think it was in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, if I can find it while we're on the air, I'll say. But yeah, they were doing, I guess, cemetery wrestling, and there may be charges pressed because apparently you cannot do pro wrestling on consecrated grounds or something of that.
But, well, yeah.
Seriously, that's what the charges are about. Were they because of the cemetery?
I mean, can you see the city council saying, "Well, you know, we better make a rule here that you can't have professional wrestling. My God, it's crazy.
That's right. Well, you know, there are all sorts of weird. Somebody just, someone sent me this deal about, there's a main distributor of books in North America which instituted a new rule that all books they carry must have the page numbers in the correct order. So, there always has to be something that, something happened where this had to have been.
Yeah, someone got ticked off.
Oh, man, that's great. That's great. We better let Brian Bale. He's got a show to do in half an hour.
Yes, absolutely.
Before you go, give him Figure Four website, and obviously you're going to start a Boogeyman fan club. Give him the website for that, too.
That's right. Someday, long down the road, the Boogeyman will be on Figure Four Daily, I assure you. I will find a way. But if you get a chance, check out F4WOnline.com. We've got news updates every day. We've got free radio shows, that sort of thing, some of which Les has appeared on. So check that out, F4WOnline.com, message boards, all sorts of cool stuff, and news headlines, that sort of thing. So.
And you're going to be on the Wrestling Observer in just a half an hour, right, when we go off the air?
Yep, head to WrestlingObserver.com. There should be a Listen Live or Listen Here button, something like that. Click on that. And you can hear the show. Christian will be the guest, so that should be fun.
Oh, excellent.
All right.
Yep, Observer Live.
All right. Well, thank you for being on the show this week, Brian.
Thanks for having me.
We'll see you again in a couple of weeks.
Brian, you take care.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
All right, buddy.
All right, see you.
Brian Alvarez from the Figure Four Weekly Newsletter here on Wrestling Weekly. Les.
Yes.
Now, I was talking about that story.
What story?
Stories that we had left over. But I don't know if you know this or not, but Saturday night's main event is coming back to TV.
Oh, really?
Yes, yeah, starting in March.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
See, I can say I've been away from the computer world. I didn't realize what a crutch the computer world was until I didn't have it.
It really is. When you're gone for like a week or something like that, you miss a lot. But
I've been through almost 2 weeks of that. So.
Yeah. But WWE has announced on their website that the 80s NBC staple Saturday night's main event will return to NBC in March 2006.
Uh-huh.
As you know, the main event debuted in April 1985. NBC aired 29 90-minute specials between its debut and April 1991. And then they also had the main event specials, five, I think, primetime specials. Those were the ones that involved Andre the Giant, Hulk Hogan, and the Mega Powers breaking up between
those Saturday night shows, by the way, pulled some of the best numbers in that time slot.
Yes.
On the networks. I mean, we're not talking about cable now. We're talking about the networks. So that, of course, you know, here's a different time, a different day. But still, I would say that's a fresh, you know, might be a fresh audience to get to as well.
Absolutely. They tried this in 92 with Fox.
Yes.
But I think they aired two specials and then canceled it.
And before you hedge your bets anymore here, let's get to the Survivor Series.
Yes.
Yes.
To that right now.
All right.
All right. Who won? Me or Les? Let's see. The first match was the first match that we wrote that we talked about was Benoit versus Booker T.
Mm-hmm.
We had both said that Booker T was going to win. I guess we just decided to go against the grain.
Yeah.
But Booker T did win that, so that's a point for each of us.
All right.
Trish and Melina. Trish was an easy pick.
So we're even up at 2-2, right?
We're even up at 2-2. Bischoff versus Long. Long won that one. And we both also predicted that one.
Wow, it's still a tie here at 3-3.
Yes.
Okay.
It was Flair versus Triple H. We both said Triple H, and we were both correct. Now, here's where we differed. John Cena versus Kurt Angle. I went with Cena on that one, and you predicted an upset and said that Angle would go ahead and take the strap.
So you're one up on me.
So I was one up on you. And in the main event, it was Raw versus SmackDown. Another difference of opinion, I had said that Raw was going to win. You'd said that SmackDown was going to win. So you got that one. So we ended up tying.
Oh, it's like kind of like kissing your sister, right?
Yes, absolutely. So, but it was pretty good. We were, we each got one wrong. So, I mean, that's not bad. That's not bad guessing.
Have you heard any numbers on that? I mean, any overnights on that pay-per-view? I know the actual numbers won't be out for some time. But.
Right. I haven't heard anything yet on that.
Okay.
But supposedly a lot of people thought that it was not a very good pay-per-view.
Well, I had heard that from some people that had watched it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's I'm wondering, too, when they're blurring the lines now of the how long can the war between the brands go.
Mm-hmm.
And my other thought was, more importantly, at least to me, is how do you shut it down?
Right.
I mean, one or the other goes out of business. Obviously, that's not the answer, or at least not anytime soon.
Right.
You know, but I am really curious how, you know, how they will, you know, end that, or, you know, I mean, it obviously can't just go on and on because it will become at some point, you know, lacking in imagination and uniqueness. So my curiosity is exactly what, you know, how they'll finish it up.
Yeah, that's mine too. We've got, you know what? I think we should make a decision on the air right now.
Okay.
As far as the show, just to entertain the fans. Should we do a show on Christmas?
Christmas Day?
Yes.
Well, you know what? I can't speak for you, but I better check with the wife.
Yeah. I'm thinking.
Well, you know what? Here's one. Why don't you do this? Our regulars in the chat room, you know, check with them.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Regulars in the chat room, answer. Should we do a show on Christmas Day, or should we not? Or should we take the day off? That's the question posted in the chat room.
Yeah, and will we get any guests? Here's the other thing.
Yeah.
Or do we go back and recap?
Yeah. We can recap
if you're asking, are we going to do one on New Year? Well, New Year's Day wouldn't be so bad, except everybody's going to be hungover, right?
Including me.
Including you, yes.
Yes. Right. But we can recap the year on New Year's Day. That would be cool.
Yeah. But yeah, I think let's let our regulars in the chat room give us their opinion, you know, and then I think it's again, will you be able to get any guests?
Yeah, that's another thing.
Yeah, because that's, let's face it, that's, you know what though, I tell you, back in the day of the territories, Thanksgiving night and Christmas night were two of the biggest nights in the year for wrestling.
Yeah, which is weird.
Well, you know, an old promoter told me at one point, he said, you know, kid, everybody gets bored with their families. That's why they only see them on Thanksgiving. And by the time our show starts at 8 o'clock in the evening, he said they're ready to kill each other and get away from each other. But we, you know.
And sometimes the family will go together.
Sure. No, I can remember. I mean, the first huge Coliseum show I ever worked on was Charlotte, right here where I'm at in the Charlotte Coliseum, and I flew in on Christmas morning. I'd been up home, you know, for the holidays, and caught an early flight in here Christmas morning to do the show that night. And we had, we set a record for a Christmas show, not a set a record all time record, but so we had a great crowd. And I remember, you know, that was always the case.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, it's you know, I think a lot of the indie promotions have tried that, but I think. The biggest problem, A, most of them don't have TV, and B, they haven't established a particular night,
mm-hmm.
you know, in a particular building, you know. So I think that's part and parcel, important part of doing something on a, you know, on an annual basis, too. But as far as we're concerned, let's check and see what the fans are saying, the listeners, and we can go from there. We got some time anyway, right?
Yeah, they're going right now with... they said they'll listen. One guy said take the day off and relax, that we deserve it.
I love him, whoever he was.
But see, a lot of our fans and a lot of our listeners, for some reason, live in the UK.
Oh, yeah?
So by the time we come on, it's like 1 in the morning over there. So all their day is done. You know, they get to listen to they get to see their families and then listen to the show later.
Right.
But us, so we might be right in the middle of Christmas dinner. You never know.
Well, you never know. It's right.
So we'll find out.
We've got some time to check it out.
Let's go ahead and take a break.
Okay.
And try to get Gabe Sapolsky.
Okay.
And when we come back, we'll either have Gabe or we'll have more wrestling for you.
All right.
All right. It's Les Thatcher and Doc Young here on Wrestling Weekly. We'll be right back after this, guys.
We know you hate this part, but Wrestling Weekly will return after this short break.
Why are you doing this to me?
Doc Young and Les Thatcher back here with you at Wrestling Weekly. Well,
there really is a Gabe Sapolsky. I've met him. I've talked to him. And we're going to get him on this show sooner or later.
What can I tell you guys? I don't know.
Doc, I think it's you.
I think it is. He's like, oh, that Doc Young, I heard of him.
You're not a fan of Ring of Honor. I don't know what it
is. I'm actually a big fan of Ring of Honor. I like their, I like the fact that you can get the tapes, and they're sort of timeless.
It doesn't matter if
it was the story from 3 months ago or anything like that.
Well, I think that there is a story, you know, as like the going way back to the Steamboat CM Punk thing,
mm-hmm.
you know, which if you bought the tapes in order, then you watched it. I mean, it made sense, and I think that's part of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in any storyline, is it making, again, it comes back to paralleling with something that happens in real life. Speaking of which, you asked the listeners in the chat room, right?
During the commercial, yeah.
Yeah, as to what we were talking about last night's TNA mm-hmm. and what their opinion. Do we have any?
Yeah. Let's see. Lawson said it was pretty good, but the Jackie Gata stuff has to end.
Has to end. I don't know. I don't mind looking at Jackie.
I don't mind it either.
my only thing is, earlier, I just think they're piling all the whipped cream on one Sunday, so to speak, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, again, spread the storylines around. Perception is reality. You know, I mean, if somebody, it's depending on what you're involved in.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on what you're involved in. And again, it's not a personal issue with Jeff. If it were Sanja Dutt that they were putting all these people around, I'd say spread them out too. You know, opposed to putting all the eggs in one basket.
Right. The general consensus is that it was okay. Not great or anything like that, not bad, just okay.
Now, see, my thought there is when, you know, everyone was so red hot on it when it first started on Spike. You know?
Oh, yeah.
And again, I reiterate each week, I am not anti-TNA or anti-any of the people there. I don't have an axe to grind. It's just I'm looking at it from a business perspective, and that initial shock is great, you know. But then you have to build off of that, and you can't. It's like I said about the multiple matches, you know, the four ways, five ways, stuff like that. Are they entertaining? Yes, but if you've seen them all the time, then they're not unique at all,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I think there is part of the problem. But like Brian had said, you know, in giving people personalities and interview time. I don't care how good an athlete you are, if you don't have a person, well, you know what? Let's look at your Indianapolis Colts, for example.
Mm.
You know, Harrison, Edgerrin James, Peyton Manning, and I doubt that anybody can name you three other ball players. I mean, you might, you know, if you live in Indianapolis, right?
Right.
But I mean, in the general consensus, a general NFL fan, I mean, here is a team that's 12-0 as of today. And yet, there is two or three personalities that motivate or generate the interest in that entire franchise, which is fine with professional football, but it doesn't work in professional wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you need more depth. And the other thing, of course, with the Colts is these other guys can play whether they got personalities or not. You know,
yeah.
that's one thing. I think that. That's what it's going to take. And, you know, the numbers have gone down, and they've come back up. I'd be curious what last night's numbers were. But I think, as you heard Brian say, they were getting a bit repetitive.
Mm-hmm.
And, again, I think that's, you know, that can be deadly.
I don't know about last night, but last week's went back up to a .08.
Yes, I know it did. I read that somewhere. Someone must have told me that or something. I'm not real sure. But, But, you know, I'd be curious because it's over the long haul, you got to figure out what that's going to, you know, what is it going to be? And to me, now, Brian stays on top of the, you know, like you said, they didn't do, start promoting it till last night. And I think, you know, since you're going to hit that prime time, man, you need to start popping that right away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or at least the time slot. You know, even if you can't expose a match. You know, maybe that time slot should have been plugged 3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. I'd like
preparation.
To see them permanently in that special time slot. It's a nice day. It's Thursday. It's not. It, it, it's You know, it's not in competition with WWE at all. It's in prime time.
Right.
I don't see why they just don't leave it there.
Well, you know, obviously there is a reason, and I'm not sure what, and you know, I don't even know what's would be in that slot normally, because
yeah,
I don't...
I was about to ask that. I mean, what I think a movie,
you know I watch a little CSI on Spike and the UFC and TNA, and then honestly, if something else catches my eye, but I'm not a steady viewer of the station, you know.
Right.
So I'm not sure either.
If the house comes on, you know.
Yeah.
Then I'll watch. I'm a big Roadhouse, Terry Funk fan.
I know, yeah. That's a cool movie. I agree with you 100%. But I, you know, I'm curious, you know, how this is going to affect. I do think, and again, if anybody in the chat room's got a comment, one of the strong things last night was Christian's interview.
Yeah.
A lot of people were
talking about that, saying Christian was... the pinnacle of the show.
Yeah. Well, he's first of all, he's a fresh face.
Mm-hmm.
Second of all, he basically, and played off of what the fans were picking on Jarrett, you know, boring and the whole thing, and he basically played off of that, you know, and which I think is a good thing as well. Rather than try to, you know, if that is the case, you know, and especially the in-house fans are saying, well, we've seen too much of you, we don't want to see you again, to just disregard it and not play off of it wouldn't make any sense either.
Uh-huh.
You know, so it's, I think Christian will help. I think there's a lot of things that need to be done. And again, I think the guys that are writing this are not guys who have written major shows, or, you know, I mean, you know, I know Scott DeMora had, you know, ran his own small independent promotion. But this is a whole different ballgame.
Right.
And which is not to say he can't do it, but then, you know, these guys are just getting their feet wet too. So, you know, it's going to be it's trial and error regardless. I mean, if you've been a booker in seven major territories over the last 20 years and you go to a new territory, it still becomes trial and error.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you may try something that's worked somewhere else for you, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to work there.
Somebody in the chat room brought up a question. Why is Shelley using a video camera? Have you seen this?
I saw him set it up last night, and I have no earthly idea. Or why he's wearing that do-rag down over one eye.
Right. Now, I know Rey Mysterio used to come out with a camcorder and film the fans on his way to the ring.
Yeah.
But this is something of a gimmick like that, where he would... where he's going to film his own matches and then study them later, you know, it's like...
Well, you know, they made that comment on the show last night, but they didn't get into any depth of, you know, they said, well, he's wrestled, now he's going to tape them and make, you know. But, you know, there is something that not necessarily, that, you know what, you can watch him by having your wife or your girlfriend or setting your VCR at home, right, to tape the same show.
Yeah, you're such a stickler for the little details.
I'm a horrible person about detail, yes. I mean, I'll drive you crazy. But you know what? Somebody else needs to be, too.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, really. I don't know, I you know, why he does that. But
if he wasn't using the video camera, then there wouldn't be a gimmick.
Well, you're right. Then it would have to be some other gimmick, right?
Yeah.
But if he were to do a promo and say, you know, I study tapes all the time. Now, who was it on the show? Was it Christian, I think, said that? Something about watching somebody's... I forget. Somebody brought that up.
Uh-huh.
About watching somebody's tapes. But anyway, that's, you know... yeah, I don't know the value of that. I'm curious. Well, you know, the Jackie Gale thing. It's like, okay, she... Jeff says, you don't belong out here, no, you got it all wrong, and then, you know, America's Most Wanted looking at him, but he said, no, don't, you know, which is all very confusing, but not to the point where it necessarily wants to make me tune in next week.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Not yet.
No. Well, I did think Terry Taylor did a promo with Harris and Storm last night that I thought was, you know, rather entertaining, with some little subtleties, like Terry trying to cop a beer for free as he left, you know, and they wouldn't let him. I mean,
right.
You know, to me, the little subtleties like that really get over stronger than, you know, than the big Three Stooges sight gags,
right.
You know, because that's not the demographic I'm shooting for anyway. I don't know. But, yeah, I just, and I think what Brian brought up about things being repetitive, you know, and the sameness, and you've got to, you know, I don't know if I said it last week or not, but one of the things I'm thinking, my God, the NHL is back in business, but they may have to shut down at half season because Team Canada's used up all the hockey sticks in North America.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I think that gimmick becomes stale if you do it every time.
Right.
You know? So it's, I mean, it's just, you know, it's, again, all this is trial and error. Everything I'm saying here doesn't mean that I, because I'm saying it's going to work. No one knows, you know, but I just, again, I'm about small details and paralleling things with, you know, with realism.
Hmm. Yeah, that would drive me crazy.
Well, welcome to my house.
Is your wife like Les?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. I say that about movies we watch, too. Why did they, you know, I'll say, why did they do that? That couldn't possibly work. You just shut up and watch them.
Boy, you must have went real crazy with Star Wars.
Oh, I don't even watch, I don't watch Star Wars.
It's about time for announcements. We're going to be cutting out of here. I do want to let everybody know that we are on a couple networks. I want you to check out WrestlingMediaNetwork.com. That's WrestlingMediaNetwork.com. And we are one of the featured shows on their network. And you see, we're branching out.
Good. I'm glad.
And
also, I'm gonna pull a Vince McMahon here to your Eric Bischoff. I'm going to say, Eric, set a goal and get us two guests for next week, damn it.
Yes, I will do that.
Although I won't say you're fired, you're a producer. I can't.
I will have to get two guests who are going to show up next week.
Yeah. Maybe, you know, here again, I would try to be of some help, but as you know, I'm, you
right.
know, the family.
Right. I am in contact with TNA, though.
Good.
And we will have a TNA guest next week.
Cool. Very good.
We just don't know which one it is yet.
And we are going to have Heath McCoy on, who wrote the history of Stampede Wrestling, because that's a great book, and I'm sure he can, you know, he'll be a very entertaining and informative guest as well.
Yeah, we'll have him sometime in December also, probably maybe even next week.
All right.
I will.
And, of course, I was going to say I'll check the website for the guest, but I can't, at least not right now.
Our other network right now is radionetwork.net is the name of it. And our stream is run live on their site, and that's, once again, RadioWrestling.net, not Radio Network. RadioWrestling.net is the name of it. So, you know, we're getting out there.
Yes, we are.
We'll have some more listeners next week.
Before we bail, I would like to say, you know, send out my sympathy to my sister-in-law, Sally Clark, on losing her husband on Friday. And that's why we're down here in Charlotte. And, you know, if everyone would include my mother-in-law in their prayers, we would appreciate that, as she's on a day-to-day basis at this point in time, too.
I will do that.
And let's hope that things are better next week, and maybe I can even get home and catch up on what's going on at some point.
Exactly. Don't forget to check out what Les is up to every week at lesthatcher.com and epwt.com. That's the Elite Pro Wrestling Training Seminars. Thanks to Wrestle Talk Radio for their help tonight. Also, don't forget to check out obsessedwithwrestling.com. It's a great site. It's got a lot of profiles, galleries of just about every wrestler in existence. The thing is huge. A lot of people use it for, you know, to do checks and research on their favorite stars and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I have never been able. I mean, I go to that site every once in a while and spend countless time there, and I still haven't barely scratched the surface.
Yeah. So check out obsessedwithwrestling.com. We're going to be back with you next week with a TNA guest. And don't forget to check out Wrestling Observer coming up next.
Absolutely.
All right. We're going to get out of here, guys. I know we're getting out early, but we are getting out like 5 minutes early from now on.
Yeah, so, Doc, I'm going to bail as well, and I will be talking to you in the next couple days.
All righty. All right,
guys.
We'll see you guys next week on Sunday from 6 to 8 Eastern. Have a good one.
You've been listening to Wrestling Weekly. Please join us again next Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern right here on WrestlingWeekly.com.